Shalom v'brachot, peace and blessings to everyone who will be joining us today. We are entering our 11th parsha for the Hebrew year 5781, entitled Vayigash, and Came Near. In this week's parsha, Yosef still remains unrecognizable to his father, Jacob's family. Everything in our parsha is being set for Yosef to reveal himself to his brothers. However, before he does, he first must see if his brothers have changed. Once the brothers, especially Yehuda or Judah, who has finally assumed the role and responsibility of firstborn, has taken the lead, then Yosef begins to take the needed steps to reveal himself. As we said last week, failure to understand these principles being revealed in these portions will cause us to miss one of the most important prophetic scenarios of end-time events happening today. The restoration of the whole house of Israel, the Jewish and the non-Jewish houses becoming one again. May Yahweh give us ears to hear and a heart to receive his prophetic promises as we proceed. I welcome all our regular listeners as we continue on our insightful journey through the Torah, as well as those who will be joining us for the very first time. May our Abba Yahweh bless all who read and listen. I do like to make you aware each week that we do use the Orthodox Jewish Bible for our scripture references. If we do use another translation, then we will notate that for you, so you will be aware. Also, so you will know, in our parsha each week, when we quote the scripture references from the OJB, I do include, at times, definitions and commentary, because it helps add clarity and emphasis while we read, especially since the OJB does include numerous Hebrew wording and phrases. However, if you read from the OJB on your own, you won't see these. I just want you to be aware. My name is Joe Snipes. Yosef from Gates to Zion Ministries, again, welcome, and let's go ahead and get started. In our Torah Parsha for this week, we have Yosef revealing himself to his brothers. As we saw in our Parsha from last week, Yosef's brothers were still unaware of who they were dealing with. Yosef recognized them, but they were still in the dark as to his own identity. This is about to change in our study this week. There is still a process at work that Yosef has set in motion so that he might know if there had truly been a change in his brothers. He needed to know if there had been any change at all in their hearts and their relationship with one another, or were they still the same selfish, wanton, conniving brood who had sold him into slavery so many years before? Everything Yosef had been orchestrating since his brothers first came to Mitzrayim, Egypt, to buy food, was meant to arrive at this moment. What we are about to read will settle the matter in Yosef's heart. It will lead to his revealing his true identity to his brothers and the result of what that moment will bring. Yehuda's history. We have watched as each of the brothers who stood in line for the place of Bekor, or firstborn, in the family failed to prove themselves worthy of that honor. Reuben failed in relation to his father's concubine, his mother Leah's handmaid. Shimon and Levi failed in the handling of their sister Dinah's situation with the men of Shechem. Finally, the place of honor becomes Yehuda's, or Judah's, to prove himself worthy of receiving. The position of Bekor, firstborn, was of great importance within the family unit because the one who filled that place became responsible to be the Goel, or the kinsman redeemer. He would control the family inheritance and ensure that all within the family were taken care of. In the outset, Yehuda, or Judah, had not shown much hope in this effort. Reuben had initially made a somewhat weak attempt at trying to regain his place as Bakor, or firstborn. He did try to deliver his brother Yosef from the murderous plot of his other brothers. However, he didn't put himself out in any real way. He did succeed in a momentary reprieve for his brother Yosef in getting the rest of his brothers not to kill him. He persuaded them instead to put him in a pit. Yet it appears his motives were more than just for Yosef's sake. It was more about keeping the hope alive of being able to look good in his father's eyes. The end result being reconsideration for the familial place of authority as Bakor, firstborn, he had lost. Finally, Yehuda, Judah, steps in and suggests that rather than kill Yosef, they should pull him out of the pit and sell him. It would keep his blood off of their hands, and they would all profit from the scheme. The brothers agreed with Yehuda, and they worked out an elaborate tale to tell their father, Jacob. They shredded Yosef's priestly coat, dipped it in the blood of goats, and told their father that a wild beast had devoured him. Then we have the seemingly strange placed story of Judah's situation with his daughter-in-law, Tamar. She had married his oldest son, who had died without a son to carry on his name and inheritance. Judah then asked his next oldest son, Onan, to take his brother's widow in levirate marriage in order to provide a son to carry on Ur's name. Onan fails to follow through and dies under Yahweh's judgment. Finally, Judah steps in and promises to give his youngest son, Shelah, to his daughter-in-law once he is old enough. However, in the process of time, Judah fears that his youngest son will die too, so he does not follow through with his promise. It's then that Tamar takes things into her own hand. She disguises herself as a prostitute and sets herself veiled on the crossroads by the way her father-in-law is traveling to Timnah. Judah sees her, lies with her, and agrees to leave three of his possessions as a surety for payment, which he vows to send later. When he does send his servant with the payment, the woman is not found. No one seems to know of anyone that meets that description. So he returns to Judah, tells him of what has happened, and time goes by. After about 3 months, it is reported to Judah that his daughter-in-law has become pregnant. In a rage of supposed righteous indignation, Judah demands that Tamar be brought to him and burned alive for playing the harlot, citing this is an allusion to the judgment given later in the written Torah for the daughter of a priest who brings reproach on her family by the sexual sin of harlotry, reciting Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 21 and verse 9 here. In the Jewish traditional writings of the Talmud, Tamar's lineage is traced to Shem, Noach's son. He is identified as the physical priest, the king of Salem, Melchizedek, who is a prophetic picture type of our blessed master Yeshua, citing Ivrim, Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. Thus, Tamar's lineage identifies her in relation to the priestly line, and the reason for Judah's demand for judgment of death by fire. When she arrives, she brings forth the three possessions Judah unbeknownst had given her in pledge to pay her for her services. They were, 1, his senet; 2, the senet cord by which it was carried; and 3, the staff. Tamar says she is pregnant by the one to whom they belong. And Judah confesses that they are his. Judah's sin was, 1, for not providing his son Shelah to Tamar to raise up a son as he had vowed. And 2, for the sin of having sexual relations with a supposed prostitute, which turned out to be his own daughter-in-law, all of which was now common knowledge. As a result, Judah would suffer humiliation before his family and all who knew him. Some would ask, why is this story, which seems so out of place, related here? The answer is simple. The Torah reveals Yahweh's standard for holiness. It identifies what sin is. It also teaches clearly that there are consequences for those sins. At the same time, the Torah also provides a way to deal with our sins and promises redemption and forgiveness for us when we sin. The Torah is revealing to us the beginnings of Judah's transformation. He is being delivered from selfishness and pride, from being an unrighteous man to becoming a man of honor, a man who is worthy of being the Bakor, the firstborn, and Goel, kinsman redeemer of his family. We see this transformation in three ways. First, he willingly confesses that he has sinned toward his daughter-in-law Tamar when confronted by her. Also, that she was, in fact, more righteous than he. Second, he never touched her again in a sexual manner. And thirdly, one of the two children from his relationship with Tamar, Peretz, is included in the lineage through which our blessed Mashiach, Yeshua, will come. His name means breaker and is prophetic of Messiah, who comes to break the yoke of sinfulness from off Israel and all mankind. Yehuda's final test. In last week's Parsha, Yosef is setting up what will be the final test of his brothers, and in particular that of his brother Yehuda, Judah. This test will show the true condition of their heart. The special divining cup which belonged to Yosef, citing it is not recorded that he used it. It was a custom of Mitzrayim, Egypt, for one in his position to have, was purposefully hidden from Yosef's steward in the belonging of his brother Benjamin. Having once left to return home, Yosef sent his servant to stop his brothers and search for the cup. Of course, it was found among Benjamin's possessions. The brothers were all taken emotionally by this event. They began to tear their clothes and cry. Then they returned to Yosef and were brought before him. Now this is where we pick up in our Parsha for this week. Yehuda, Judah, who is being prepared to take his place as the firstborn, Goel kinsman redeemer of the family, begins to rise to the occasion. Yet there is more that is going on here than meets the eye. We are given this awareness by how Yehuda, Judah, approaches Yosef, though he still does not know who he is. Look at what happens. We're quoting from Bereshit, Genesis chapter 44 and verse 18. Then Yehuda came near unto him and said, O Adoni, my master, let thy Ebed, your servant, speak now a davar, a word, in Osne, your ears. Adoni, my master, and let not thine anger burn against the Ebed, the servant, for thou art even like Pharaoh. You must ask yourself, why would Yehuda, Judah, ask to speak a word in the ears of this Mitzri, this Egyptian viceroy, at this point? As of yet, he had no idea that this was his brother. He had no idea that the one to whom he was speaking could even understand what he was saying. Yet he did not let that deter him. Yehuda, Judah drew near and spoke anyway. There is a point when the words are not as important as the spirit in which they are spoken. This is apparently Yehuda, Judah's intent. However, in the account of this event in the Aramaic Targum, Yerushalami, citing this as one of the Aramaic paraphrased Sefarim or books, an extension of the written Torah that provides an in-depth account of events recorded in the Torah proper, we find this. Yehuda approached him, raging in words, but subdued in tongue. He roared like a lion and said, I implore my Lord, let your servant now speak a word, and my Lord, let not your anger be kindled against your servant. Did you not say to us, from the first time that we came to you, from before the Lord, I fear. And now your judgments have turned to become like the judgments of Pharaoh, your master. And he said, behold, now, our Lord, the first time we came, you said to us, from before the Lord, I fear. And now you say, of Pharaoh, I am afraid. Perhaps it has not been said to you, and perhaps you have not heard about Shimon and Levi, my two brothers, and their deeds in the fortress of Shechem, that they entered it and killed every male in it, because within the fortress they defiled our sister Dinah in it, who is not counted among the tribes, and who has no portion or inheritance in the division of the land. As for me, my strength is greater than the strength of Shimon and Levi. I vow, if I draw my sword from the scabbard, I will not return it till I have killed all the Egyptians. I will begin with you, and I will end with Pharaoh, your master, because I am as honorable as you are, and my father is as honorable as Pharaoh, your master, is. I swear to you by the life of my father, as you swear by the life of Pharaoh, your master, if I draw my sword from within the scabbard, I will not return it until the land of Egypt is filled with the slain, until we make the entire land of Egypt desolate of inhabitants. With you I will begin, and with Pharaoh, your master, by whom you swear, I will end. For the sake of doing so, I will act, despite the unwillingness of my father. Have you not heard? Have you not been told what my two brothers, Shimon and Levi, did in the fortress of Shechem, which was at peace? They entered into it and killed every male at the edge of the sword, because they defiled Dinah, our sister, who is not reckoned among the tribes, who is not about to inherit with us. How much more so for the sake of our brother, who is counted among us, among the tribes, who will receive a portion and will inherit with us in the division of the land? How much more so, because I am harsher than they are, because my strength is greater than theirs, and because I have posted bail for the child before my father? Perhaps you have not heard, or you have not been told, that we are kings and rulers in the land of Canaan, as you and Pharaoh are rulers in the land of Egypt. So I and Yaakov, my father, are rulers in the land of Canaan. I quoted all of the above because if you read it and pay attention to the inflections of the text, you will feel the passion with which Yehuda, Judah, was speaking. It is powerful, and even without understanding what was said, the passion provides its own interpretation. Yet, though Yehuda, Judah, was unaware, Yosef did understand his brother's words. What he felt and heard provided clear proof that there was indeed a change within the heart of his brothers, most importantly, within Yehuda, Judah. This proved that he had passed the final test of character. It was the test that would determine what was about to happen. Yosef reveals himself to his brothers. We're citing Bereshit, Genesis chapter 45 and verse 1. Then Yosef could not control himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause Kol Ish, all the men, to go out from me. And there stood no Ish, no man, with him, while Yosef made himself known unto his Achim, his brothers. Now the moment had come. Yosef is standing with his brothers. All the emotion has been pent up for so long is about to be released. Beloved, there has been within so many of us such a deep-seated desire for the Jewish people to accept us. Yet we did not fully understand why. There has literally been, as it were, a jealousy of their ancient relationship with Yahweh. Even though we, as believers, have an understanding of Yahweh's redemptive purposes through our blessed Master Yeshua, unfortunately, most Jewish people have not yet been able to experience this. Now, in Yahweh's mercy, we are coming to realize our own forgotten connectedness to Israel as the non-Jewish house of Yosef Ephraim. We know why The desire for our Jewish brothers to know us and receive us has been there. But there is so much history, deep waters that have run beneath that bridge, such hard feelings that have been the bane of our separation for over 2,730 years. Yet the promise is there, given by Yahweh through the Nevi'im, the prophets, the day when those things will pass away and the brothers will be rejoined. We're quoting here from Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 11, verses 11 through 13. And it shall come to pass in Yom Hahu, that day, that Adonai, Master Yahweh, shall set his yad, his hand, again the second time to recover the she'ar, the remnant of his people, which shall be left as survivors from Assyria, from Mitzrayim, from Patros, and from Cush, from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamat, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall raise up a nes, a banner, that is, send a signal for the goyim, the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, citing this is the house of Ephraim, and gather together the dispersed of Yehuda, this is the house of Judah, from the four corners of Haaretz, the earth, the Kenya, the envy, the jealousy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Yehuda, Judah, shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Yehuda, Judah, and Yehuda, Judah shall not harass Ephraim. Just as in our Torah portion, Yosef will reveal himself to his brothers. Citing, note the phrase reveal himself was not to be in words alone. It meant that Yosef exposed to them his circumcision, the covenantal sign of Yahweh. Even then, it will be a process. Yosef's brothers were not quite as excited about the event as he was. They felt in their case, it was not as good as it seemed. After all, the things they had done were still there between them. Now, with their younger brother having such a place of power, what a most opportune time for him to exact revenge. However, nothing could have been further from Yosef from his mind. Through the process of watching his brothers' reactions during their testing, Yosef knew they had changed. He had already forgiven them in his heart and told them so. Yosef, through the operation of the principle of the execution stake, had been brought to see the sovereignty of Yahweh in all that had transpired. We'll be quoting from Bereshit, Genesis chapter 45, verses 3 through 8. And Yosef said unto his achim, his brethren, I am Yosef. Doth Avi, my father, yet live? And his achim, his brothers, could not answer him, for they were shocked with dismay at his presence. And Yosef said unto his achim, his brothers, come near to me now. And they came near. And he said, I am Yosef achachem, your brother, whom you sold into Mitzrayim, into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me here. For Elohim, the mighty one, did send me before you to save life. For these 2 years have the Ra'ab, the famine, been in the land, and yet these are the Chamesh Shanim, 5 years, in the which shall neither be plowing nor harvest. And Elohim, the mighty one, sent me before you to save you a Sharit, and a remnant in the earth, and to save life for you, a pelata gedola, a great deliverance and escape. So now it was not you that sent me here, but HaElohim, the mighty one, and he hath made me as an Av, a father to Pharaoh, and Adon, a master of all his bayit, his house, and Moshel, a governor throughout Kol Eretz Mitzrayim, all the land of Egypt. What a blessed moment has finally come. Yosef has revealed himself to his brothers, and the full reunion with his father, Yaakov, Jacob, is set in motion. Emotions flow as Yosef continues to express his love for his brothers, especially Benjamin. We're quoting from Bereshit, Genesis chapter 45, verses 14 through 15. And he fell upon the neck of Benjamin, Achiv, his brother, and wept. And Benjamin, wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his Achim, his brothers, and wept upon them. And after that, his Achim brothers talked with him. The full reunion begins. Now I think before we go on, it is right to point out one thing from the above scripture that is very pertinent to our lesson. It is found in the last sentence. After that, his Achim, his brothers, talked with him. You can see that Yahweh has already begun the healing process between Yosef and his brothers. If you remember, from our earlier parsha, there was so much hostility present within the hearts of Yosef's brothers. We read, quoting from Bereshit chapter 37 and verse 4, And when his Achim, his brothers, saw that Avichem, their father, loved him more than all his Achim, his brothers, they hated him and could not speak with shalom, peace, unto him. When communication is restored in relationships that have been strained, it is a sign of the beginning of restoration. There is a way yet to go for things to be fully rectified between these brothers, but the healing has begun. The rest of the chapters of our parsha are about Yosef sending his brothers to bring his father Yaakov, Israel, to him. It is a wonderful event as the reality of Yosef's being alive breaks over Yaakov, over Jacob. Yosef, at Pharaoh's behest, sends wagons and supplies for his father, brothers, and their families to make the journey to Mitzrayim, to Egypt. Yosef's reunion with his father is a beautiful moment indeed. It is a time of blessed reunion, restoration, and rectification for the family. It also gives a picture of the reunion that will one day happen between our blessed Master Yeshua, the true King, the Messiah of all Israel, and his own Jewish brethren, a time when the broken, divided house of Israel will stand as one whole house. The scriptures do indeed testify of this great event. We're quoting here from Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 49, verses 5 through 6. And now saith Hashem, Yahweh, my Yotzer, my maker, from the Beten, the womb, to be Eved, servant of him, to bring back Yaakov, Jacob, to him. So shall I be honored in the eyes of Hashem, Yahweh, and Elohai, my mighty one, shall be my os, my strength. Citing the rabbinic understanding of this is to be referring to the Mashiach, the Messiah. And he said, Is it too small a thing that thou shouldest be Eved, servant to me, to raise up the Shifte Yaakov, the tribes of Jacob, and to bring back the Netzorei Israel, the preserved of Israel, the Shalrit, the remnant? I will also give thee for Or Goyim, light for the nations, that thou mayest be my Yeshua, salvation unto the Ketze Haaretz, the ends of the earth. We'll also be quoting from Hosea chapter 1, verse 1, which in some translations is actually chapter 2 and verse 2. Then shall the B'nai Yehuda, the sons of Yehuda, Judah, the southern house, and the B'nai Israel, the sons of Israel, the northern house, Yosef Ephraim, be gathered together and appoint for them Rosh Echad, one head. Citing the rabbinic understanding of this is to be referring to the Mashiach, to the Messiah. See Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 11, also Hosea chapter 3 and verse 5. And they shall come up out of Haaretz, the land, for Gadol, great shall be Yom Yisrael, the day of Jezreel. God Elohim, the mighty one, will so. May it come quickly and in our day. Amen. Remember our Hebraic idiom we learned earlier. Ma'aseh Avot Simon Lebanim. The deeds of the fathers are signposts for the children. We say the following blessing as we continue each week's study of the Torah. Chazak u'baruch, strength and blessing.